dance, the dance of the rhythm, the dance of the rhythm, the song of the rhythm, celebration, dance the dance. Creation, dance the dance of the rhythm, revelation, dance the dance. Can't you see us? Can't you hear us? Bump up here on mountains moving. Dance the dance of the rhythm, the heart.
Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. A lot of changes are about to happen, and there's a lot of things going to take place that right now you're not particularly prepared for. Many of you still are in this mode of condemning everything that you don't like. You think that there's sin everywhere. And yes, there is sin everywhere, but the thing is, it's not your duty to go and judge sin. Because the way that you're going to be judging people is the way that you will be judged. It's kind of interesting. So you got to go figure. When you read the Bible, it says you're forgiven of all your sins. Then another verse says that the way you judge people is the way that you will be judged. So that means if you're going around and judging people, then you have to be judged the same way that you're judging them. And of course, I know you think you're righteous. You think that you're right when you're seeing something that you think is sin, and you want to judge that person and say you're going to go to hell because you're living in sin. You know, you have this kind of attitude about yourself. You think that you're a policeman. You think that your God has assigned you to a mission to monitor the world's sins. That you must point out to the world each and every sin that you believe is a sin. Somehow or another, you have this idea that this is Christianity. Now, of course, you wouldn't say this, but in actuality, if you turn on, listen to Christians, if you go to websites, if you go to chat rooms, it doesn't really particularly matter where you go. Christians are out and about to judge people. It's fun getting interrupted there by a telephone call. When you're out judging sin, then it's going to come back on you. There's things that are going to happen that you don't understand. So my point here is being that you need to start reconfiguring the way you behave as a Christian. You talk about love one another. You say, love the person, hate the sin, as though you can do that. Only God can do that, people, because you don't know what sin is. You have your sin list that you go by and your interpretation of what sin is. You got your finger pointing at every single thing you don't like and you call it sin. Hey, there's a lot of sin out there. It doesn't mean you go around tolerating it. It doesn't mean you go around uplifting it. But it's not your job to police it. So what do we have? We have this concept of Christianity from those that are outside Christianity that Christians are strict and Christians are this and Christians are that and so forth and so on. And what does this mean? This means that this is what Jesus is. If you deal with anything Christian, then you've got all these set of rules. You've got all these laws to obey. So you preach that, yes, you're set free from these things, that you're forgiven. We're sinners, but we're forgiven. Not much after you give the person all kinds of hope,
in the salvation through Jesus Christ, who died for their sins, that you start pouring out rules and regulations and laws. We have so many denominations out there, and God wants all these denominations. Nobody's the same out there. We got groups of people that could gather together and worship God in their fashion. And this is good. This is right. I don't care what you think about this denomination, that other denomination, or whatever. And we don't need to get into the rules and strictness and regulations of what is the foundation purpose of believing in Christ. You're not a judge. If a person calls himself a Christian, then you can treat him like a Christian. And how do you treat a Christian? You also treat others the same way. When a non-believer looks at you as a Christian, generally the rule is you are in this kind of a strict type of thing. And I know, you have all sorts of ways to justify how you are. You know, God said it. We're to separate ourselves. Yes, the world's going to condemn us. You know, I'm not up here just pouring out wishes and wants and ravings and stuff about what you know, let's just not, let's just turn our backs on all the evil that's going on there. Hey, look, Jesus is pretty wonderful. Haven't you learned this by now, Christian? Don't you want others to have Christ so they can be experiencing what you're experiencing? Unless you're going around obeying all these rules. There's lots of people out there that turn from Jesus, but not based on Jesus, based on what's set up in the pulpit, based on their peer Christians, saying, you're doing this, you're doing this. Hey, there's lots of rules to follow. We can't. If we want to follow rules, we have to follow them all. You got to follow them all. You say, hey, follow this rule, so you're sitting there spending your life trying to follow this rule. You got to follow them all to be saved. You got to follow every single law of God to be saved. And if you're not, if you're saying that you're going to obey God by following laws, and you can't because the nation of Israel couldn't, so there was a provision made. Slaughter the cows and stuff. You had all these things, this kind of animal or this kind of vegetable or you know, grain or whatever, offer this, cut them up, put that blood all over the place. And you had certain types you do because you don't know what you're saying is, so you have that kind of sacrifice. You have something that when you really know you're saying, you got that kind of sacrifice, and you have a sacrifice to atone for the whole nation. You have, you know, on and on and on. And if you're obeying the law and you want to live the law, then you're going to have to do all these kinds of things too, because you can't be forgiven by the law. Now, this doesn't mean you go out and break every law. Hardly. What happens is the law is written on your heart. And so you are attempting to do the best you can in doing what's right. You ought to be having sort of a war inside in trying to figure out these rightness or wrongness. Because some of the stuff that you think is wrong is not wrong at all. So you're fighting against something that's not wrong at all. And you're not going to win that battle. So you're going to struggle with it forever until you die. Unless you get set free and figure it out, this is not the struggle you should be having. It's not going away. Jesus isn't delivering you, and so forth and so on. There's other reasons. Get on with life. Don't be getting down on yourself because your pastor told you something, or you read in a book, some author wrote something about, you know, this. You know, I just turned on TV just a few moments before I did this program, turn on the preacher station. What's the guy saying? Big congregation out there. You know, the kind of congregation that's got at least 3,000 people when they pan the camera over the thing, maybe more. Here's this guy up there. He's got a big screen up there in front, you know, and he's pointing out because he's got that laser pointer or something. And he's got a picture of a skull, and he has all these kind of things, the guilt and this and whatever. He's talking about negative thinking. You can't do positive type of thing. Does it create a positive attitude or whatever? You know, it's kind of interesting. We go and reread all the things that Jesus did. We read all the things that the apostles did. I can't find in the Bible where the apostles got together or Jesus got together, got the crowd out there and started showing a picture of the brain and saying, hey, you got these kind of things and got this kind of thing. You know, you got to have this positive speaking and all that and going. And, you know, some of these people really get it. And look at all the followers. So this is a positive thinking type of thing. Now, some of you would say, that's not for you. Doesn't matter if it's for you or not. What matters is there are some pretty powerful Christian leaders out there that is pouring a lot of stuff out there, and it's getting a lot of people into this thing that they need to point out people's sins. Your pastor is doing things that is making it so that you can point out people's sins. On the gay issue, you just simply hate gays. You won't admit to this, maybe. You'll say, no, you love the gay person, but you hate the sin, as though you can know what the sin is. Because if I ask you, why do you say gay is sin, you will say a book name, a chapter, and a verse. I will be lucky if you quote the verse. I will get God hates it from you. I will get it's in the Bible. I'll get it's so simple. It's so clear. But will I get you to tell me what the Hebrew word sodomite means? No, you won't do that. I could talk to you for a very long time. And I can ask you over and over and over again, tell me what the word sodomite means. And you don't think it's even an issue. When sodomite is the very foundation for the condemnation of gays, by so many of you. It's a 700-year-old doctrine. It's not a 3,000-year-old doctrine. It's a 700-year-old doctrine. A few powerful Catholic leaders got together because they wanted to do something about people in power that didn't agree with them. They didn't have their ideals, so they wanted to create a scandalous situation so they could point a finger at somebody and say, I had a sexual relation with that woman. Remember that? So, this is what they did. They created a scandalous doctrine. Now that you have scandal created, you can tell, let's get this guy out of the powerful position he's in, and then let's nominate somebody that agrees with us, has our ideals. You see, this is what took place. The thing is, this is history. You know, this is what's so amazing about Christians who love the truth. They seem to hate history. They seem to hate what actually happened. I thought you believed in truth. I thought you sought truth. I thought you loved truth. I thought you said God is truth. Then why do you hang on to lies about gay people? If you're going to hate gay people, if you're going to say gay is sin, then get truth. Get the facts. Get the history. Show it. Don't say it's simple or clear, because it is not simple or clear. Heterosexuality, sexual relations is not a simple thing. Why is your pastor and all the associates that help him have the door lined up of people having trouble? Why the counselors and therapists all across the world have heterosexual married couples come in there for counseling? Why do, when I go online, just I am overwhelmed by heterosexual married couples coming to me for all kinds of advice in their marriage? Why is there so much of this? You need to understand a few things. You've got to learn the truth about things. And the truth about gays is gay is not sin. It is not so clear. It is not so simple. Just like heterosexuality, it's not so clear. You say, oh, God made man and woman. And you make it like that's so simple, so clear. When we have 6 billion people in the world and then all history, which is about another 6 billion, and we can see heterosexual relationships had a whole bunch of problems. There's murder, rape, all kinds of adultery, and on, you can see the massive confusion about heterosexual. And you're trying to say that it's so simple and so clear in the Bible that gay is sin? Present it. That's what I ask you. Tell me what sodomite means. Get your sources up. Tell me about the Bible you use. Do you know that every single modern translation Bible is a Satan counterfeit? You can hardly go to a church that uses the King James Bible anymore. They all use modern translations. How many of you took any kind of time at all to go in and find out about these modern translations? You're just happy with what the modern translations say or what your pastor says. You open up the preface of it and it says, oh, look, it's got from the original and this and that, and you're reading all the extensive study to try to get the accurate Bible and all that kind of stuff. And that satisfies you. That's all you want to know. Then you listen to your favorite author or something, or your pastor, like I said, and they say, they have the Bible, they have the New International Version or something. And they give this presentation, they use all these other kinds of modern version Bibles, but they don't use the King James Bible. Would you study? Would you go find out? Please? If you don't do anything else, find out about the Bible that you are reading. There's lots of places, and you heard lots of things. Some of you old-timers that have been a Christian for a long time have all kinds of concepts about the modern version Bible. Some of you may still only love the King James, but you don't know why. There's this specific history about the New Testament Bible that started in the 2nd century. All of the books that we have in the King James Bible was already done, written, and everything in the 2nd century, and they translated into the Latin Vulgate. Now, Latin Vulgate is not a particular book. It is a form of language. So it's simply translated into this language. And in this particular case, extremely accurate. They had the original handwritten copies or original manuscripts when they did this. Now there's not even a single original manuscript left on earth. But you have the original handwritten copies that were translated into Latin Vulgate, and this was used most of the first millennium. About a millennium and a half. But also in that 2nd century, a corrupt version was also written using those very books. And it was also translated into Latin Vulgate. You know, Satan's a counterfeiter. He's got people that hear him. Just like many of you claim you hear Jesus. Well, people hear Satan. Often they believe he's Lucifer unfallen. And Satan developed a counterfeit Bible that was translated into Latin Vulgate. So you got 2 Latin Vulgates, the received text and the corrupt text. The Catholics made the corrupt text, when they discovered it in the 15th century, their official Bible. Westcott and Hort made the corrupt version as the official Church of England Bible, where all modern translations come from. And if you do a comparison, and there's links, there's websites that you can put word by word or verse by verse comparison to give you an example of King James Version and a modern translation. You ought to get sick to your stomach when you read verse after verse after verse what the modern translation did. You ought to just literally feel defiled that you're even reading the modern translation. Because every single one of them, you can see how King James Version go out of its way almost to bring forth to you the Son of God, the Christ, your Savior, paid the price on the cross, the importance of the significance of the Christness of Jesus Christ is in the King James Bible, where in the modern translation it's taken the Christness out of Jesus Christ. It is making you assume He is the Christ and assume He is the only Son of God and much more relating to the end times. And do you care? No, you don't care. You don't care at all. Just like you don't care about 600 million gay people. You don't want to tell them what sodomite means when you go study and go to all history and find out that a sodomite is a male temple prostitute with a very specific tree. You don't want to go to Sodom and Gomorrah when it was destroyed and find out this was a horrid gang rape activity being planned, and that there is even more horrible situations involved in this kind of, as you would call, gay sex. Because it's not gay sex at all. Gays are boy meets boy. They date. They fall in love. They get married. That's not what they did in Sodom. They put beds out on the street corners, and if anybody comes from another town, they put them in that bed, tie them up. They purposely made the bed shorter. So if a person is too long for the bed, they cut the feet off. So they fit the bed. This is what they did. And then they raped them. This is not gay behavior. But somehow or another you think it is, because all you see is, well, they're both males. And you can't even compare it. You can't even say, well, there's a hooker, and there's a guy that pays for the hooker. So heterosexuality's got to be said, because we got to point blank, that's heterosexual sex. Opposite sex does not mean that it is correct. There are types of acts in heterosexuality that is sin. Now, in the Sodom account, these people weren't even necessarily gay. There isn't any indication that to show that. The indication is they had families and children and were populating the two cities. They had commerce and various other things. It's just they were not quite the righteous people that generally some cities usually we like to think that are at least overall have some sort of decency. These were not the conditions in Sodom and Gomorrah. You got to learn some things. You got to know some things. You got to figure it out. People, if something's going to happen to you, the time is getting over. We're too short. And that doesn't mean that the tribulation is going to start really soon. It's going to still be several years away, if not maybe a decade or more. Period. I don't care what any of your pastors say or what you think. You got some time left. And there's some things going to happen in this time. And they're not going to be fun to Christians. There's going to be plagues coming ever so more distinctly towards the Christian person. Those that are condemning gay people are going to begin to receive plagues. More and more often and more direct to what they are doing. And people, you're going to have to turn away from your condemnation of gays and start preaching the opposite. That gay is not saying that you are wrong about gays. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. It's a done deal, people. Plagues are coming to you. And you might be seeing some of them already starting. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to Him and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come to my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now accept Him and read the King James Version. All other versions account of it, and get ready. Plagues are coming to you, Christian. You're going to get spanked.
to see the signs and wonders, and to hear the distant thunder, the whole earth rumble. That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming. Dance the angels, dance the dancers, dance the dance of the rhythm of celebration of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation, dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Can't you booming, can't you hear the storm clouds booming, can't you hear the mountains booming, and the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the angels, dance the dance of the dance of the rhythm of celebration. Dance the dance of the real, dance of the real of God. Dance the dance of the real. Dance the dance of the real.